blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, and when within thy courts appear, and see thy face? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the second in 2 Kings chapter 6. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Kings 6, beginning with verse 8 to and including 23. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge Thee that Thou hast brought us safely again to our flock, over which Thou hast made us overseer. And Thou hast given us a little rest that we may take up our labors here once again. And Thou knowest all that we stand in need of, because we can labor and we can labor, but we cannot give what we all need. Oh, that Thou may then look upon us in all of our needs. It is Thy holy day again, Thy holy Sabbath day, and the world does go about all the labors of their hands in defiance, in ignorance, and also in disobedience to Thee. But Thou knowest our hearts can be so busy also with all the labors in the midst of this world, the concerns, and that we can be building our barns and our houses and doing our work even on Thy day. Oh, for scarce 5 minutes able to think upon Thee and all the most necessary things. Lord, we need a new heart. We need to be drawn by Thee, and not only for the first time. We need to be drawn by Thee time and time again. And without Thee, we can do nothing, and we show ourselves to be nothing but a heap of iniquity. And continuing on, unless Thou dost stop us in our mad career, that Thou may remember us, both young and old together, as we are traveling to that great eternity, and that we have been born into this world, conceived and born in sin, and we are traveling even to our long home, and by nature traveling upon a broad way, a way that leadeth to destruction, and we do not have eyes to see the end of it. We have only eyes to behold all the vanity that is so drawing by the prince of darkness in the midst of this world, so ignorant and so foolish that we do not consider our last end. Oh, that Thou may remember us, Lord, that Thou would send Thy Spirit in this day, Thy holy day, unto us and unto our dear children, to give us life from the dead, and to draw our hearts after the things of Thee, after Thee Thyself, that we may be convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that we may mourn for our sin, that we might see Thy great goodness, and that we may be brought into the dust of self-abasement before Thee. May it be even in the days of our youth, that Thou may give that tenderness of conscience, that Thou may draw with the blessedness of the things of Thee, the spiritual things, and the things that will never pass away, and that we with our children may be given to seek Thee. For Thou sayest, those that seek Me shall find Me. Then happy is that people whose God is the Lord, that Thou may remember us all together in Thy mercy. And when Thou hast drawn us indeed out of darkness into Thy marvelous light, and when Thou hast shown us a little bit of what our wretchedness is by nature, and when Thou hast drawn the heart after Thee, and then Thou knowest also where we are in the midst of this world, and where that we are in the condition of that life that Thou hast given birth unto. And Lord, then everything needs to come from Thee, then it needs to be revived, then it needs to be drawn, then it needs to be encouraged in all of its discouragement. Then light needs to be given in the darkness, and thou needest to reveal thyself unto thy own people. Lord, thou knowest the case, and thou knowest the place of each and every one of thine own, that thou may come and visit them upon this thy holy day, in the institution which thou hast given unto us and unto our children. And then so often it is in the life of thy own people, as it was with that servant of Elisha. Then he did fear because of the greatness of the enemy. What shall we do? They shall overcome us. And so thy children also are so afraid so often for the great multitude of that enemy that does come against them. And they have no power against that great company, O Lord. But thou dost say, fear not, for there be with us more than there be with them. Oh, that thou may show it unto them. Open the eyes of that fearful people who are afraid that they shall be overcome, that they may be given a sight of the strength that is in thy dear Son. And all that he has accomplished upon that cursed tree, do show unto them, and that he has bruised the head of the devil, and that his power is taken away, and that all the iniquity in the world is, he is able to overcome, or he has overcome it, for the sake of his own people, who do mourn, and who do despair of themselves. Lord, open their eyes, and that they might see the chariots that are round about them, and that they may see the glory of the King of Kings, and that they may be given eyes to behold his goodness and his love and his power, and that they may be encouraged, and that they may be drawn also by times to speak of him. A hymn of whom their soul does hope, and that hope that shall never be made ashamed. Reveal thyself, Lord, unto each and every one of that church militant here below, in the place and in the condition that they are, that thou may establish them in that grace, that they may no more be upon the waves of the sea, but that they may be given that blessed steadfastness, oh, to be set upon that solid rock, and to be able to speak with thy servant Job, who knew that his Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. Oh, that thou may lead them, thy dear church, and that thou would lead them from step to step, from resting place to resting place, as they go upon their journey upon that narrow way here below, when every mountain is before them that must be made plain by thee, and every valley that is exalted by thee for them, and that they may walk thereupon in safety, even that they may go unto the end, where they may cross that last river, and that they may enter into the joy of their Lord. O Lord, teach each and every one of us, that we may see that we are upon one of these two roads, and that we may see the danger of our way by nature, and that we may be drawn unto that blessed way that leadeth unto thyself. Look upon our children and our youth. Oh, give them, and when they are still young, the blessed and tender fear of thy name in their hearts. Remember the parents, and remember the teachers, the principals, the school board, those that will drive the buses, all that are in the school, the aides. Oh, Lord, remember in the day of tomorrow,
And when they will begin once again, when they will come together once again, wilt thou give safety in the year to come over each and every one of them. Wilt thou give what is necessary, and that our school may be supported, that thou may bless us, Lord, those that do labor in the midst of this world, and that they may be able to support our school and all the worthy causes, and that thou may bless them, and that thou may remember our children and our youth. Oh, that thou may give to them what their teachers cannot give to them, that thou may give to them new hearts, and that there may be new desires and new affections, a new choice, and that they may hunger and thirst after thee and the knowledge of thee and thy dear Son, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, show them the greatness and the blessedness of the treasures that are above, that they may depart from all that is here below, and that they may depart even from hell beneath. Wilt thou strengthen our teachers? Oh, give them also that tender fear in their hearts, that they may stand before our children and our youth, and that they may be examples unto them of the tenderness of that fear of thee, and that there may be a holy jealousy struck in the hearts of our youth, that thou may give wisdom to our board members. Remember, parents, when the greatest responsibility is lying upon them, that thou may give them to know what their obligations are, but give them also the ability that they may bring up their children in the tender fear of the Lord, to depart from the ways of sin, to depart from vanity, and to give that example to them of seeking that one thing that is needful. Wilt thou take away all our iniquities in regard also to these things? And wilt thou wash us and cleanse us in the all-atoning blood of thy dear Son? Wilt thou then so bless us undeservedly? Remember also all the needy, those that have difficulties and troubles of mind and body, those that live and go over this life alone. Wilt thou be near and dear unto all that are lonely, and supply for all that are in distress, those that have difficulties of the mind, that thou may give what is necessary for them, and all that may care for them, and those that have needs of the body, wilt thou give healing, if it could please thee, and give submission under ways of trial and affliction, and be with all that suffer from addictions, that thou may show unto them the sinfulness thereof, and give a true repentance not only, but also help in that warfare, which can be so very, very difficult, that thou may look upon the children, those that have difficulties in learning, and that thou may give them also a place upon their knees before thee, that they may find out in their life that there is a God in heaven, and that thou may give love in the midst of our families, in our schools, in our school, that thou may give, that there may be a denying of self, that there may be a looking out for one another and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou be with us in this hour? Wilt thou help us, Lord? Wilt thou give the unction of thy Spirit? Give us ability, give us words, give us matter, and wilt thou thyself come in the midst of us, both feelingly and believingly, and that we may know that thou art near, that thou may give a lasting impression, a saving impression, that may be for the eternal good of our souls, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 22, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, and while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me, and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me and triumph in their might? We'd just like to remind everyone also that the Confession of Faith class is hoped to begin next week. So we ask that those who wish to join the class do contact me by this coming Tuesday so we can get materials ready. Psalter 22, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
foundation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and thereof the 18th verse. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So far, the words of our text, which is a supplication for sight. Open thou mine eyes, a supplication for sight. First, we want to consider the necessity of this supplication, and second, the desire in this supplication that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. A supplication for sight. First, the necessity of this supplication, and second, the desire in this supplication. It is congregation like Bartimaeus. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Why? Because he was blind. He could not see. But he wanted to see. Would you do that too, children? I think you would ask that same thing then of the Lord Jesus. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Thus we have that also in here in the words of our text. That is the petition of a man who is blind. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold, he says. Thus he cannot see, but he wants to see. You say, well, who wrote this? Well, that was David. You say, well, was David blind? We don't read that anywhere in the Bible. His eyes seemed to have been fine. And yet he prays the Lord that the Lord may open his eyes, just as if he were blind. See, that is a mystery. Or is it not a mystery? Or do we understand what David is asking here in this word? Physical sight is not the only kind of sight that there is in this world. Solomon says, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. He says, I saw that. Say, well, how did he see that? How do you see that wisdom excels folly? You do not see that with your natural eyes, no? That is something that he saw in his mind. That is something that his intellect perceived. Thus, it is a perception. And when we speak about the eyes, then we speak not only about the natural, actual eyes, but then there is also a reference to what the mind may see, what the mind may behold. You're going to go to school if all is well, or begin your lessons if all is well in the day of tomorrow, boys and girls. And then you will be shown different things by your teachers, by your parents. They will try to get you to see it. And then they will try to get your mind to perceive something. How do you perceive things? Well, that is gotten by improving your instruction by thinking, by meditating upon those things that your parents, your teachers teach you. There are so many things to see. There are so many things to perceive. physicist Isaac Newton, spoke about that. He says that there is an ocean of truth that is yet undiscovered. So many things that are true, but man still has never discovered them. But his greatest blessing, if we may see that wisdom excelleth folly. As far as light excelleth darkness. Or if we may see that, especially when we are young, and we may perceive that wisdom that is far greater and far better than foolishness, then we see something that is worthwhile for our whole life. Open thou mine eyes, David says, that I may behold. That's what does David acknowledge when he is asking this? Well, he says that that perception, what he wants to see, that is something that is a gift, because he is asking God if God may give this to him. So he acknowledges where that this comes from. So all perception is a gift, also in a natural way. And some of us have more of this gift and some of us have less of this gift. For some of us, it can be very difficult to learn. We don't see the things so easily. And thus, children, when you will go to school again, and when you cannot see it, when you cannot understand it, when you cannot perceive the truth, then where must you go? Where did David go when he could not perceive it? Well, then he went to the Lord. And thus you may go to the Lord too when you do not understand. And you may bow your knees and you may ask the Lord if he will give you to see. Because he is the God of the heavens and of the earth. And all the truth that is in the world is what he has made. And thus he can show it also to you. But David, he is asking for a perception here, not merely about the natural things of this world. What does he say? He says he wants to behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's, he wants to see wondrous things out of the Word of God, that holy book. David is very rich. David has all the means to seek all the pleasures and all the wisdom and everything that is in this world. And what is he doing? He is reading the Bible. And thus David sees something there in the Holy Scriptures that he does not see in all the riches that he may obtain in the world. He sees something that is so valuable that with all those riches, he is reading that Word of God. He does not have that whole Word of God like we have it. No, he is only in the beginning of the kingdom of Israel. Thus, he has just a portion, and that actually just a small portion of the Scriptures, and that even of the Old Testament. And yet, David says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Is that also the same with us? But David says, now when I take that book up, that scroll, and I read it, oh, then I am like a blind man. I cannot see. What does that mean? Did David not understand the book of Genesis? The history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the children. Is that not? David understood that. Sure, he understood it. So what does he mean when he says, I cannot see? Oh, David saw that there was something behind it. David recognized that there was more in that word, that there were mysteries in that word, couched in it, that covered by it, or he could not enter into those things that he truly believed were hidden in that word of God. Thus God's church is made aware of their weakness. They're made aware of their ignorance and that they cannot just give to themselves that perception of those most necessary things. They cannot just see to enter into the mysteries of salvation that the Lord has written in His holy word. Oh, they are sure that there are things that are to be beheld. That is what Bunyan tried to show. Christian, do you see yonder shining light? I think I do, he said. Oh, there is something shining there. Do you ever say that? That there is something shining in that word of God. I cannot see it. It is hidden in that word. And thus, that knowledge, that feeling, that experience, that it is not in my power to open to myself the mysteries of the salvation of the soul of a man. But they want to see these things. David wants to behold these things. Those people live under that feeling, realization that these are the most important things for their souls upon their journey. And thus they are made beggars like David, that the Lord would open their eyes that they might see, that the Lord may reveal unto them those mysteries, the hidden truths, which are so dark in their own hearts. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold. Only the Lord can open my eyes. A supernatural work, just like Bartimaeus. Only the Lord can do that. And that supplication of the psalmist now distinguishes those matters that he wants to behold from all the natural matters that we want to behold in the midst of this world. Because it is not a supernatural work to teach people in this world about things and about truths in this world. That is a work that our fathers and mothers do every day. That is a work that our teachers do at school every day, that they are trained how to do, to instruct and to give that perception, of course. We need the Lord in everything. We don't say that, because it is only in the Lord's goodness and common grace and providence that we can understand also in a natural way. But we say that kind of perception is not supernatural. That is a natural thing to persuade men of things. Even it can be in moral things in the midst of this world. But David here says, I need the Lord himself to do it. Thus he can gather around him his men of learning. He can gather around him God's servants. But even they cannot show him. And now David desires to see these things. And when he desires to see these things, then he complains that he cannot see them. Thus, what does the Lord do? The Lord gives a new heart. And when the Lord gives a new heart, then there is desire, boys and girls. Then there is a desire to know him. Thus, the Lord gives a new love, new affections for him. Does that live in your heart? And then a new choice. But then when there is that love for him and a choice for him, then they find out how ignorant that they are. That they know nothing of him. That they are so blind in all the things of God. And then how good it is when a mother, a father, a teacher may perceive in a child a desire. A desire for the knowledge of those things that are above all the things that are in this world. Oh, then there is a little hope, because that is something that those teachers are not able to give unto those children. That visible church is entrusted with the Word of God. And we are obliged to teach the Word of God. And that is to the understanding. But that is as far as we can go. And now the natural understanding can receive those truths. And we can make confession of those truths. We hope that there are those who will desire to make, out of love for that truth, a confession of that truth of the Word of God, which we have been given even from him and through our forefathers. That is all good. That is our obligation. But all that seed that we may sow in the church, in the school, in the home also, in a certain way, that does not fall all on the same ground. No, there is stony ground, there is wayside ground, there is thorny ground, and then there is good ground. And now if that seed is going to germinate, it must fall on good ground. And where does that good ground come from? That good ground comes from the Lord. That is a heart that is regenerated. That is a heart that is born again. That is the work of the Lord alone, to give unto us a heart that word is able to penetrate. Those dead, dry bones, then God's servant may preach to them. They cannot make them alive. Then he is dependent. But when it is in obedience to the Word of God, then the Spirit of the Lord is there to give life unto those dead, dry bones. And thus, teachers, when you will begin tomorrow, what is your most important work? Say, I've gone to university, and I have many years maybe of experience. Just how to bring those ideas, those thoughts across. What is your most important work? That begins before you get to school. That begins today. That begins on your knees before you come there. O Lord, wilt thou now give that interest, a desire for light, a desire for knowledge of thee, because I cannot give this to these children. O Lord, wilt thou convert them? O Lord, wilt thou give to them a new heart Will thou help them to understand and to desire that knowledge that we do not desire, that none of us desire by nature? Because then, and only then, will the soul begin to cry out for knowledge and to search for knowledge and for that understanding. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold. David knew what it was to behold. And thus, David knew what was necessary to make him to behold time and again. And he felt his dependence upon the Lord for this. And thus the church learns the necessity of this supplication. But what is it now that they actually desire? Our second thought in that supplication. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things. What is it? Marvelous things. That is, extraordinary things. Supernatural things. Thus, the Word of God, the Bible, contains wondrous things. Do you believe that? Believe that, young people? That the Word of God contains wondrous things. That is what David declared by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. David has seen that. That is his now declaration. He has beheld these things as his eyes were opened for those things, as those things were revealed unto him. Thus people speak about all kinds of wondrous things in the world, like the great pyramids in Egypt, and the great wall of China, and the great gardens of Babylon, all kinds of great things, and the marvel at all the ingenuity and the wisdom of men in the midst of this world. And then you say, man, look at the creation, at the creation. And then what do they say? Oh, then they say, well, that just came out of evolution. It just as if it was possible to just organize itself, as if that makes the least sense, as if things do that now, that they should have done that before. And thus, it is a direct insult to the God of heaven, to the creator of heaven and of earth. And when we refuse to see, to admit what is so plain, because Paul says in Romans that it is so plain to everyone in the whole world. And when that is so plain and we refuse to admit it, then the Lord is just if he would close our eyes to those spiritual things, to perceive the things that are necessary for the welfare of our own soul. Then it is just when we so rebel against God. The Lord Jesus thanked his Father that he hid these things from the wise and prudent. You ever think, young people, the professors, many of them in liberal universities, many of them liberal persons and godless. You say, oh, they are so wise about this and that. Wait a moment. That is what the Lord says he has hidden these most blessed things from the wise and the prudent of this world, and he has revealed these things unto the babes. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The beauty of the Lord. That is, congregation, a wondrous thing. To behold out of His law. Most churchgoers never see it. Most churchgoers never see it. They never see the beauty of the Lord. By nature, we are blind to that beauty. And what is so beautiful in Him? Oh, you may ask those who have received eyes to see it. Oh, they will tell you, as far as the Lord has given them sight to behold. And they will say to you, then I see such a beauty in His holiness. I see a beauty in His majesty. I see a beauty in His righteousness. Yes, I see a beauty in His justice even. Oh, I see a beauty in His love. I see a beauty in His mercy. As much as the Lord is opening the eyes to behold such a beauty, it is not beautiful to a carnal heart. To a heart that is seeking nothing but carnal things. It is not beautiful to a heart that justifies itself in his own goodness, in his own righteousness. And that needs nothing more. And that seeks nothing more. The beauty of the Lord. This is where it begins in the day of regeneration. When they see His beauty. And that beauty draws them. Then they feel His love. All the knowledge of sin that we may have. All the knowledge of guilt that we may have will never draw us unto Him. How much guilt did Judas feel? He felt guilt at that crime that he committed. So much guilt that he says it is hopeless. Hopeless. And there was nothing of true repentance in the heart of Judas. Oh, we can bring forth many tears because of our misery. Many tears because of our guilt. Many tears, tears of regret without a single tear of godly sorrow. Because that is proceeding, that is coming out of a foundation of love. What does Paul say? He says, knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? Thus the goodness of the Lord, that is the springhead, that is the fountainhead. Oh, do you ever see something of the goodness of the Lord, even in a natural way? That it may break your hard and stony heart. That you may be led by a true repentance to draw nigh once again unto Him. Let us sing. 226. 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to Thee I cry, our Father's God, to Thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. 1, 2, and 3 of 226. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. David wants to enter into those things. He wants to experience those things. He wants to feel the power of those things. He wants to marvel at those things as he has done before. Thus the power and the liveliness of faith is often dying away. And that is most of the time because of the slothfulness of God's own people. And the Lord, who is the first in the beginning, must also be the first by renewal to revive their desires after himself, and to give them fresh insights and fresh tokens. And then when they see something and the Lord reveals something of himself, then it is so that they see maybe just that one thing, but then there is also a perception that there is so much more to be seen. I think if you go outside and just look at a little flower and you say, what a beautiful, beautiful flower. And then you say, how much more? And then it impresses you with the wisdom, the power of God. And when the Lord shows something of himself also in the spiritual things, then there is immediately that impression that there is a great, great treasure of truth that is still undiscovered. Oh, how is it that the Holy Spirit is giving that a man may enter into, that he gives him to see, that he gives him to perceive something of those things? A multitude beheld the healing of the palsied man when he was let down through the tiling in the roof, because there was no place there to come in even at the door. And then the multitude saw this. And they all saw, when they have been able to see it, of course, then they all saw the same thing. The same thing. But how many of them did see a wondrous thing? Because there were many of them who said, this man blasphemeth. They did not perceive, and they saw the same thing as everyone else, but they did not perceive, they did not see the great wonder. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And that healing of his body. Others looked, and they marveled indeed. And his friends, they will all be very, very glad for him. But now that palsied man himself, he may enter into this wonder. And he may see this as no other man has seen this. Why? Because he alone experienced the misery. He alone experienced the helplessness. He alone experienced the guilt, the unworthiness. So that it became a great wonder in the life of this man. Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, who is able to enter into the wonder that that man has experienced. Oh, what a wondrous thing is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To see it, to behold it. But is it a wonder to you? Is it now a wonder to the whole congregation, young and old? It is a wonder. It is a great and a wonderful thing. But by nature, we do not see it. Our eyes are blind to it. But how was that for Manasseh? When he was laying in the prison, and when he folded his hands and closed his eyes there on that prison floor, as one who was unworthy, how was there for him? The grace of God. How was that for the thief? We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that are so blind to it, whose eyes have already been opened, whose eyes have been opened for their own guilt, whose eyes have been opened for their own transgression. But for him, their eyes are closed. There is no more hidden person than the Lord Jesus Christ. To that people who are brought by the Spirit of the Lord into that warfare of that church militant. David complains about that here. He supplicates that his eyes may be opened. Everything for that people is open and naked before the eyes of whom they have to do. And it is open before their eyes in a partial way also. But now to see him. And who alone is able to open their eyes? David says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. For what? To see what? To see thy power. To see thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, where the Lord is opening his power, where the Lord is opening his glory, and then they have to wait so often that we sang together, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides thy face? Darkness. And then they are crying out for light. Cannot see him. No, it is not in their power. That is their experience. And what else is in their experience? That the Lord is not in a hurry. Do you experience that? That you say, Lord, How long? How long? What does the Lord say? He speaks about that widow and that unjust judge. And the Lord says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? No. The Lord does not afflict willingly that he may grieve the children of men. Why does the Lord wait? The Lord waits because he wants to show unto that people wondrous things out of his law. He wants to show them a grace that is as wide as the ocean. And he has to wait for that. Why does he need to wait for that? Because he needs to bring his people in the place that they can see it. Because they cannot see it in every place. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The man born blind. What did that man say to the scribes, to the rulers? He says, why, herein is a wonderful thing. He said it was wonderful. That he has opened my eyes, and you do not know from whence he is. That is a wondrous thing to him. Marvelous thing. He says, how is that possible? When he has opened my eyes and you do not know where he has come from. I know where he has come from. That is very obvious to me. Oh, they were blind to the wonder that that man has experienced. And the Lord Jesus afterwards said to them, why? He says, because you were never blind. And then he brought that further. And he says, you say, we see. And therefore you will ever remain blind. Thus he brought that over in a spiritual way. He said, if you never become a blind man, you will never be cured, forgiven your iniquity. Oh, do you desire to behold wondrous things out of God's law? How can you see them? You may only see them, young people, you're going to go to school, if all is well, tomorrow. And in school you will learn about, I will use the word perspective. Perspective. What is that? In art, you see it from a certain angle, or in drawing a house, or a certain perspective. Or you're going to write a story, and you're going to write it from the perspective of this person, or you write it from the perspective of that person. Or different perspectives of the same thing. Now the Lord, he sometimes sets in the cloud a rainbow, a rainbow. You've seen that, right, children? And if you would now, when you see that rainbow here in form of cloud, and then you call your friend that is in Lethbridge or in Medicine Hat, you say, look outside. Beautiful rainbow. They look outside, and they see nothing. They see nothing. And why do they see nothing? Well, because they are on the other side. And if they are on the other side, you cannot see it. Thus you have to be standing in the right place before you can see that beautiful rainbow that the Lord is setting there in that sky. And now, to behold those wondrous things out of the law of God, then the Lord must bring us also in a certain place that we may be able to see them. There is nothing so wondrous as the grace of God. But to see the wonder of it, it is always seen from the bottom of the pit. You cannot see that looking down. You can only see it from below in your unworthiness, in your misery, in your helplessness. It is always a wonder. It will always remain a wonder. But now to see the wonder, to see the beauty of it, you can only see it from that place. That is why our fathers, we begin in the Heidelberg Catechism again with the knowledge of our misery. Is the rest coming? Oh, yes. But first we need to be in that place. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Bible says the angels desire to look into those things. They cannot see them. Not like that people see them. Why not? Because they're too high. They cannot be seen from there. And Saul of Tarsus could not see it either. From the height of the perfection of his own obedience, then he could not see it from that height. But when the Lord brought him down, and when the Lord made him a sinner before God, oh, when the Lord blinded his eyes, then the Lord opened it. Then the Lord revealed it unto him, wondrous things, out of the law of God. And then he began to preach them the grace, the free, the sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the chiefest of sinners. Congregation, there are wondrous things in that book. Do you believe that? Wondrous things that are written in that holy word of God. Do you desire to see them? You want to see them? We cannot give anyone that desire. Cannot give that to you. Or ask the Lord for that desire. Ask him. And in the same time, try to give it to yourself, because then you will learn a little who you are. Then you will learn a little what your misery is without God in this world. Oh, supplicate with David. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And remember the rainbow. It is a sign of God's covenant. That is for natural things. And that can be seen only from a certain place. And now his covenant of grace, that can be seen only from a certain place. Thus do not be discouraged when it goes wrong. When it seems to decrease, and when you come lower and lower in that pit, and you say, this way, it cannot be. Oh, then ask the Lord from that wretchedness and from that misery. Oh, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bring us there? Because we cannot bring ourselves there, and we fight against coming there. Because we are ever upholders of our own righteousness and our own goodness, and it all needs to be taken away from us. Oh, Lord, convert us unto thee, and do show to us our wretchedness out of thy holy law, that we may be made a sinner before God, and that we might come to know thy grace, and that it may be such a wonder to us that we will forever magnify and glorify thy great and glorious name. Forgive thou all our sins. Bring us safely home, and help thou us in the week to come. In all the labors of our hands, wilt thou remember us when we gather with a small flock in Calgary in this week, and when they hope to begin their own Christian school. 5 children, Lord, that thou may remember them also, and the teacher there who will instruct, and wilt thou be amongst us in that evening. Remember the couple who hopes to be united in this week in the bond of holy matrimony. And wilt thou be with us also when we gather in thy house. And may thou make it good for us undeservedly. And wilt thou then look on all the labors that are done in the midst of thy church, but also each personally in the midst of this world. May it all be in thy favor, with thy blessing, in holiness and in righteousness and in truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. 362, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of 362. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.